Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Even when behave yourself. We're talking about how do you know the truth? You know, I discovered in my life that there's no two people in the world that believe the exact same thing. You know what? But the good news is I'm the only one that's right. So I can explain it all to you today. And you're going to be very helpful. Here's the thing. There's a time in the Gospels, in the first four books of the Bible, as you know, there's a biography of Jesus in each of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's a point in the book of Matthew where Jesus goes out into the desert and he's fasting. He's not eating anything. And this is what happens. This is the story after that. The devil comes up to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Like he really cares anyway, right? Jesus answered, "It is written, man must not live by bread alone. He must also live on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Jesus was quoting the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 3. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down." Apparently, if he's the Son of God, he's got to do all these tricks the devil wants him to do. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. It is written." This is the devil talking now. The devil is saying, "It is written, the Lord will command his angels to take good care of you. They'll lift you up in their hands. Then you won't trip over a stone." And that's Psalm 91, 11, 12. And Jesus answered to him, "It is also written, do not test the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 6, 16. Now, there's something we might be missing in the middle of this story, which is this part in the middle here where the devil's quoting the Bible at Jesus. Okay? Don't tell me how much Bible you know. That devil knows every page on it and even tried to turn it around on Jesus. So, Pastor Mike said, you got to know this man here. That's the thing. You have to know who it is that you're dealing with. And knowing all these facts here and being able to quote all these things doesn't count for anything here. The devil even does that. I don't even want to compete with anything like that. See, there's some people, they like being right a lot. A lot. Now, see, in my case, I've never been right often enough to get addicted to it to where I just feel like I have to have it. I've had so much failure in having to admit that I'm wrong, whether I like it or not, that I just got used to that. And then I put that into my Christianity, you see. But there's some people, they feel like if they could quote a Bible verse to cover whatever rudeness and meanness and mean-spirited actions they're putting forth, if they could quote a Bible verse behind it, then that's okay. See, and that's where we get this. That's what takes us back to this verse right here, where the devil's quoting that Bible. That doesn't make it righteous either. See, it's not enough for us to be right. If you say you could say the right thing, you could be quoting the words of the Bible, but you have to communicate that in the right way. You have to have the right heart. You have to have the right spirit. It's possible to mess this stuff up, and we have to be aware of that. We have to take responsibility to that. I hear some people that will preach something like forgiveness, but the way they make it sound, they make it sound like Jesus don't really want to forgive me. And his heart isn't really towards me, and I need to shape up, or he's gonna run out of all his good feelings here. That's not in the Bible. You adding some things in there with your little attitude that you're giving to me when you're telling me about it. Okay, don't give me the attitude. Just give it to me how Jesus was giving it, okay? I'm coming right in on what Pastor Mike was talking about. We need to get a sense of who God is. We need to understand his character. When we get into his word, that's what we're supposed to be figuring out. See, there's a part, I can just give you one example. just off the top of my head here, Jesus is in a town, and there's this woman that they find, that the Bible says they caught her in the act of adultery. That means, you know, they caught her, well, you know, it's PG-13. We're going to skip over that part. But they caught her, right? And they drug her out into the street, and they put her down in front of Jesus. Now, here's what they said. They said, now, what do you say we should do about her? Because if you say, because what they said was, now, the Bible says that we're supposed to punish her for doing that. Okay, but if you say we got to be loving and forgiving and gracious and all that kind of stuff, then you're going against the Bible. So you've got to tell us that we got to punish her, and you got to go against everything you've been saying. We finally put you in a corner, Jesus. How do you like that? You know what Jesus said? He said, well, I tell you what, whichever one of you doesn't have any sin, pick up a rock and go ahead and throw it. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone. Right? Okay, now, I understand a little bit about God's character and his heart by hearing that story, don't you? See, I think Jesus is trying to tell you a little bit of something. He doesn't like people bullying other people with their religious stuff. He doesn't like that one person's going to put himself in charge of handing out all the punishment and putting people down, telling people how it goes, and woo-woo-woo, and getting in people's bedrooms and telling them how that needs to be operating and all this kind of, getting in people's business and all that. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like this idea of trying to play games with people. And you know, these brothers had it in their heart to be mean to her. That was all. The Jesus part, the Bible part, all that other stuff was just a way to make that happen. He knew that, and he wasn't going to allow that. That's God's character. That's God's heart. We learned something from hearing that story. We need to get to know him the way he is. Now, see, if you're going to tell me about the Bible, you're going to, and I hear a lot of these, oh, Lord, I hear a lot of these debates and back and forth and whatnot. And fortunately, I don't have the brains to participate in half of them, so that just passed me right by. But the thing I know is this, if you want to take everything about Christianity, everything about what Jesus did and said, you want to boil it all the way down, it goes down to one word, and that's grace. Okay? Grace, undeserved forgiveness. You getting forgiven when you didn't deserve it. That's the heart of it all comes down to that. Now, every time I see two Christians arguing about something, grace is the first thing goes out the window. Okay? So they didn't know, neither one of them knows what they're talking about if you're gonna ask my opinion of that, okay. You got to tell me where grace fits into this thing that you're telling me, you know. Well, I think in pre-tribulation, post-rapture, all the oneness of the universe. What? Do what now? What does this have to do with, what, you know? I'm just trying to hold on to the sanctification I've got. You got to help me with that. Don't give me some other, you know, thing from another world to deal with. Jesus said, and this is what he said over and over and over again to people. He said, follow me. Follow me. He did not say, follow my teachings. He didn't say, I'm going to write this down. Now y'all follow that. He didn't do that. It's strange to me that he didn't. You know, that's what everybody else did. Everybody else wanted to start a religion. They write stuff down and said, now do that, what I said to do. Jesus said, you follow me. That's different. Isn't it? That's about, he's saying, I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to go where I go. You and I together, side by side. I'll walk you through what you're going to go through. I'm going to be there with you in it. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to do in the midst of that. I want you to follow me. And that means everything changes, right? If you following him and he takes you through this and around that and over that, you're going to see all different kind of things. It's going to be a different thing on a different day all the time. But some of these people, the religious types, they want a set of rules and rituals and whatever. And they want to lock that in now, and they can never change. They don't want anything changing. They don't want any. They don't want to. I mean, you take some of these church types and you say, "Let's change something." The people jump out the window. They're so freaked out by that. They don't want to. They don't want to do anything new. This is what the essence of following God is, that things change, things move, and He has different things He wants to do on different day. He wants to guide us and lead us in all this. And here's the bottom line, and I'll drive it to the hoop on this. We're looking for discernment. That's the word that we're looking for here. Okay? Discernment. That means, discernment means knowing right from wrong and good from bad. Simple concept. It's wisdom. It's understanding what it is that we're dealing with. It's important to have that. I go to churches, and some of them, they're just fantastic. Everything's good. Everything's lovely. You know, maybe the sound system's a little loud, or maybe this guy's got too many buttons on his suit, and the socks match the shoes in a way that seems overly, you know what I mean. But I'm not judging. Do whatever you got to do. Do what you got to do. There ain't nothing wrong with that, okay? There ain't nothing wrong with that. I go to some other churches, and they are preaching something coming in from outer space, dude. I don't know where this is coming from. And we have to have that ability, that discernment. We can say, hey, wait a second. I don't know where that's coming from, but I need to go somewhere else and be somewhere else right now. I'm not going to put anybody down. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not going to try and cuff them in the parking lot and tell them something, whatever. I'm just going to find another place where God's word is being preached. Now, give you an example of this, and this is what we're going to close on. There's a point in the New Testament. We talked about Paul already tonight, and Paul, one of the things he was dealing with is there was this big debate going on in the church, big conflict over this simple idea. Christians were living in communities where the people would worship other gods, right? And what they would do is they would bring their animals, and then they would sacrifice the animal to the god. They would give the animal to the weird guy, and he would kill the animal. But then he's keeping the animal. The god ain't taking it anywhere. He's just keeping it. And then he'd sell it later, see? So you could buy meat that had been sacrificed to a god that somebody made up. Okay? Now, here's what happened. Some Christians, bless them, said, that's sinful because for superstitious reasons. You know, it's if you eat a meat that was sacrificed to another god, then that it's got other god, you know, molecules in it. I can't explain it. You follow what I'm saying? But they thought that was bad. And then there's other people like, it don't matter. That God just made up anyway. It's just a hamburger. What do we? It can't be right or wrong. It's just a hamburger. That's all. So just eat it. You know, there's two debates going on, one side and one and the other, and they went back and forth. And this is what Paul said about that. He said, accept the person whose faith is weak. Don't argue with them where you have differences of opinion. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another person eats only vegetables because their faith is weak and they're afraid of the meat and all that. He says, the person who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not. Keep flipping it there. And the one who doesn't eat everything must not judge the person who does. That's because God has accepted both of these people. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? ? Right? Whether they are faithful or not is their own master's concern. And they will be faithful because the Lord has the power to make them be faithful. See what I'm saying? This is the point I want us to end on, is this idea that we don't have to have these debates because you have to answer to God for yourself. That's not my job to sort you out. That's between you and the Father. And if it makes a big deal to you to not eat that, go ahead, and that's fine and whatever. Don't judge me because I am. The Lord and I have worked out something. You and the Lord have worked out something. That's between you and Him, and mine is between me and Him. And and the Lord can be happy with both of us living those different lives, is what He's saying there. So I want to leave you all with that. Amen? We love you. God bless you.
He gave his only son.